You've heard it said for a long time now. Your church website is the new front door for your ministry. More and more people are checking out locations online first before visiting in person, particularly young adults. And if you've ever looked at a menu for a restaurant or checked out reviews of a hotel online before you've chosen to go there, then you're doing with restaurants and hotels what people in our communities are doing with churches. Thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich. I'm a United Methodist pastor, and on this episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast, we're discussing how to make your ministry website not just user-friendly, but visitor-friendly. We're going to start with a few foundational ideas and questions to help set the table, and we're actually going to start with an idea that we spoke on much more in depth in an episode on audiences, saying the right thing to the right people in the right way. And so if you want to dive deeper on this thought, go ahead and check out that past episode. But this idea is when you try to reach everybody, you reach nobody. We as consumers, we as an audience, we as people browsing the internet only tend to tune in and really pay attention if it's something we're interested in and something we can understand. When we water down our messages, when we blend things together, when we try to write stuff that is so general that everyone can understand it, it's oftentimes lost the thing that makes it interesting. At the same time, when we use really detailed and insider language, it may not be something that visitors can understand. It might make more sense to regular members and not so much for a new visitor. At the same time, if we use language that's really visitor-focused, it might turn our members off, or it might be confusing for them because they're wondering why we aren't using the terminology that we use on site. And so this brings up this tension. Websites need to appeal to visitors or members, or to put it more specifically, certain parts of our website should appeal and be directed towards an audience of visitors, and other parts of our website can appeal to and be directed toward our members. Because the truth is, visitors and members are looking for two different things. They need two different things. What kind of things might a new person need? Well, they need basic information. What is the church like? What time does it start? Where do I go? Where members might be looking for other things like ways to sign up for events or checking out a calendar. When we try to mash all these things together into one page or into a set of pages that aren't clearly marked for one audience or another, people can easily get confused and maybe they'll leave, or maybe they'll start clicking around and get lost somewhere on your website. So we need to ask ourselves this question: who is your website for? And there are two ways to ask this question. First, who is your website for, as in who is actually using it? You can do a little bit of research. You can go on Google Analytics if you have that set up on your website and see what parts of your website people are going to. And you might see that an event calendar is getting lots and lots of hits, but the about page is not getting any hits. That might be a hint that your website is being used almost exclusively by members and not at all by visitors. On the other hand, you might see that your about page or a page on worship that might include sermons has a lot of hits, but pages for some of your ministries aren't being used. That might be a tip that you're getting a lot of interested visitor traffic, but you're not getting a lot of members using your site. And of course, you can also ask this question out in your lobby or narthex. Maybe you pull people aside and say, hey, have you been to the church website recently? Why or why not? What pages are you going to? Are they helpful or not? A lot of people might say, well, we need to make sure that our website is helpful for our members, but in actuality, no members are going to your website. And so you're maintaining something for people who aren't using it, and you're making it not as user-friendly for the people who need it the most, and that's the people who are visiting. And so we then turn that question from a practical question, who's using your website, into a philosophical question, who is your website for? Or most importantly, who should it be for? Who is going to get the most out of your website? Who is going to take the biggest next step in discipleship in their route toward Jesus and in their route in faith if they use your website? I personally would argue that at least for the front page of your website, it should be geared toward visitors. Because the last sort of foundational idea is, I want to ask you this question: who is more willing and likely to spend time looking for what they need on your website? And I think it's pretty clear that the answer would be members. Members already like your church. Members are already positively affiliated with your church. Members are going to go through that extra step or two to go through the menu and find the information information they're looking for. They're going to go an extra click or two. Where if I'm a new visitor and I get to your website and I don't immediately or easily see what I'm looking for, if I get confused or I get lost, I'm not already connected to your church. It's easy for me to just click off and find another church website that is going to help me find the things that I'm interested in. It's also important to remember that oftentimes members have infinitely more communication channels to get the information they're looking for on your website. Oftentimes, you're going to have announcements in worship on Sunday. You're going to have bulletins, newsletters, maybe a church email list or social media, Facebook groups or accounts and things like this. They have a thousand ways to get the information they need, or at the very least, they can call the church office. Let's commit now to reserving the front page of our website for visitors and making sure it's effective for them. So if we are going to redesign the front of our website and make it visitor-friendly and visitor-focused, what should be there? Let's actually start with what shouldn't be there. Here are some things that tend to show up on the front page of church websites, even one that are trying to be visitor-focused, that probably shouldn't be there. Number one, and this is probably one of the biggest offenders, a photo of your building. Unless your church building is historic, and I'm talking like History Channel historic, not just old, or it's an architectural marvel, like even people outside of your area have heard of it and want to come see it, no one is coming just to sit in or admire your building. It may be beautiful. It may be over 100 years old, but if it's not the draw for the church, the building doesn't need to be on the front page of your website. And maybe we're thinking, well, it's going to help people recognize our church when they drive by. That is true, but chances are pretty good that most people are using Google Maps or Apple Maps or Waze or some other kind of GPS software to get them to your church. We don't need a picture of your building to recognize it. Our phones are going to direct us there. So the first thing that probably shouldn't be on the front page of your website, at least the first thing that people see, is your building. Secondly, is a pastor photo. Unless your pastor is famous, you don't need a picture of your pastor on the front page of the website. And I might argue that even if your pastor is famous, you probably still don't need a picture of your pastor on the front page of the website because the church is not about them. Thirdly, we should probably start ditching stock photos. Stock photos say, "Welcome to our church. This isn't it, but doesn't this look cool?" It's really tempting, especially if we don't have a professional photographer or good photos of our church, to turn to stock photography because they look good or communicates the feel that we want people to have. But when people are coming to their website, when people are coming to your website, they're not looking for your favorite stock photos. They're looking for what your church actually looks like. And the worst possible thing that you can do is choose stock photos of people. Because if I show up and the people that I saw on your website don't look anything like the people who are actually in your church, it's going to feel like a bait and switch. And this can be really hard. If you're a church of primarily older folks and you're wanting to attract younger people, it might be tempting to post a picture of someone who looks like a millennial on the front page of your website. But if I'm a millennial, I go to your website and I say, "Hey, there's people like me there." And then I show up and there's not people like me there. I'm going to be more upset than if I had gone to your website, seen pictures of older folks, and said, "You know, that's okay. I'd like to come and be a part of it." So make sure the photos, specifically on the front page of your website, make sure the photos are, as much as you can, good photos of your actual church, the actual people there participating and looking like they're glad to be there. And then lastly, this one may be a little bit more controversial, not so much hot topic, but it's certainly things that churches do a lot, is we like to have either announcements or a graphic for our sermon series or a slider throwing all of these things at a visitor on the front page of our website. The last thing that I would argue should not be on the front page of your website are announcements or even an ad for your sermon series. Even if the event or series you're advertising is attractional, it likely shouldn't be the first thing that people see. If they get to the front page of your website organically, meaning that they have searched for it on Google and then they click the link to go through to your church website, likely they want to know about your church in general and aren't specifically looking for what you're talking about this coming Sunday. And I would say if you have an attractional event or an attractional sermon series, you should create a page on your website for that and then promote that page on social media rather than sending them to the front page of your website. If you're doing something attractional, create a specific place on your website for that and send people there. Reserve the front page to communicate the sort of, I would call it, evergreen message of your church, which we'll get into that later. The one or two exceptions that I would say would be Christmas and Easter. Around Christmas time, around Easter time, everyone knows that that's coming up. Everyone knows that that's a specific special event. And if someone is coming as a visitor to check out your website during Christmas time and leading up to Easter time, chances are good that they're looking for that specific information. So keep the front of your website general unless it's Christmas or Easter. Okay, so we've talked about what should not be on the front page of your website. Now let's get into what should be there. The first one kind of piggybacks off of something we talked about in this last section, and that's attractive imagery of real people from your church. Show us who you are and show us that people are happy to be there. You don't have to have a professional photographer in your church in order to have great looking photos on your website. We're all carrying around cameras in our pockets that take exceptional photos. The most important thing to do is make sure that you have good lighting and make sure that you can see people's faces. Get close enough that you can actually see people's faces. A lot of the photography that I see on church websites, when they're not done well, people's faces are in shadow or they're too far away to really see the people. We want to connect with people. We connect with faces. We particularly connect with smiling faces, right? Why would you post a picture on the front of your website of someone that doesn't look happy to be there? And of course, the reason that we want to do that is because we want to see that there's someone like me there. So give us pictures of real people from your church. Secondly, we should have a headline that really stands out, and it should be short and succinct and communicate an important message, which we'll talk about in a minute. And if you want to add a little bit more, possibly a subheadline of a sentence or two, but the front page of your website should not overwhelm people with a whole bunch of text. You want to workshop a really clear, concise, and effective headline, maybe a descriptor sentence. And like I said, we'll get into what that should be in a second, but have a clear headline. Thirdly, you should have one clear call to action. You can't and should not put all of the visitor information on the front page of your website. Instead, have a big button that directs people to a dedicated page for visitors. It might say first time question mark, or it might say plan your visit, or it might say what to expect. Create one big clear button that if you're a new visitor, you know this is where I'm supposed to click and where I'm supposed to go next. We want to guide people through our website. We don't want to leave them hanging. We want them to always know where they're supposed to go next. So your front page should have attractive imagery of real people from your church, a headline that's clear, succinct, and effective, possibly a subheadline, and one clear call to action. A lot of this comes from the work done by Donald Miller and his Story Brand publications and websites and podcasts. He's done a lot of work really studying what makes people respond to organizations like churches and businesses. And he says that your website, your organization, your ministry website should pass what he calls the grunt test. Within 5 seconds, someone should be able to look at your website and answer three questions. Question number one is, what do you offer? So if someone looks at the front page of your website, do they know that it's a church? Secondly, how will it make my life better? What is the benefit for continuing to engage with this website? And third, what do I need to do to get started? Or what do I need to do to buy this product? Or what do I need to do to get involved or connected at this church? Within 5 seconds, we should be able to look at a website and answer those three questions. If we can't answer those three questions within the first 5 seconds, chances are pretty good that your message is not clear enough. It might be a little confusing, and people might not find what they're looking for, and they might click away or go back. Where if you come to a website and you can answer these three questions, what do you offer? How will it make my life better? And what do I need to do next? If you can answer those basic questions within 5 seconds of looking at your website, you know that you have people hooked.
Be grateful this Thanksgiving for the savings your church can achieve by switching to United Methodist Insurance. Request a quote today for your church's insurance needs at uminsure.org. United Methodist Insurance, property and casualty protection for your ministry.
Now let's use a real life example. We're going to use the website for the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection, which you can see at core.org, C-O-R.O-R-G. When you get to their church website, you'll notice that in the background, they have some imagery. Now, on their desktop site, they have a video montage of people from the greeting time. They have a few videos of the band playing from worship. But if you check out their website on a mobile phone, because it doesn't play video on the background there, you'll just see an image. But even if you can't do a video background, see the kind of things that they're showing. They're showing people in conversation. They're showing people smiling. They're showing people from their band. They're using imagery that gives you a sense of what it feels like to be there. Next, they have a headline, which at the time of this recording read, "Welcome Home." That's it. That's the headline of their website, Welcome Home. Underneath it is a subheading. And again, at the time of recording, this is what it was. This is a place of hope, meaning, and purpose. Visit and become a part of something bigger, a movement that is changing lives. Now, personally for me, that's maybe a little bit long, but they have done a lot of work and they've decided that this is the right subheading for them. This is a place of hope, meaning, and purpose. Visit and become a part of something bigger, a movement that is changing lives. And then underneath that, they have a big button. This is their call to action, and that button reads, "Find services near you." Now, this kind of layout, you might look at it and say, wow, that looks really fancy. Almost all modern website builders, templates, and themes allow you to easily build a section like this. Sometimes they're called a hero header, where you'll be able to choose a background image, you can type in a headline, possibly a subhead, and then put in one singular, very clear, big button that sends people to the next step or the next page. So while it looks really pretty and it might be a little bit intimidating, they're easier to build than you think. Check out your website builder, your template, your theme. It's probably an option in there. So now let's evaluate. Does the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection's website pass the grunt test? Well, yes, I think it does. The first question, what do you offer? Well, you can see from the imagery in the background that they're a church. And then from the headline and the subheading, you realize that they are a church that wants to be home for you, and they provide hope and meaning. Question number two, how will it make my life better? Well, it will give you purpose that can change your life. Let's say that they're in an area where they've discerned that the need in the community is for people to have purpose and have meaning. They need something to do with their time. They need something to do with their money. They need something to do with the restlessness, the need for meaning. So they've decided to put that right there in their subheading. This is a place of hope, meaning, and purpose. You can find it here. That's how it will make your life better. And then what do I need to do to get started? Well, you need to find services near you. You click on that big button and you'll find services near you. So yes, this front page of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection website is a perfect example of a visitor-focused website front page that passes the grunt test. Okay, so now we've got our front page all tuned up. You've got a great image chosen. You've got a headline and a subheader that really answers the questions there. And then you've got a button that sends people to a visitor-specific page. So what do we need to have on this visitor-specific page? Here are some things that I would recommend that you include on a page like that. First, have a personal invitation. Maybe a friendly greeting. Acknowledge that visiting a church is a big step and it can be intimidating, and we're glad that you're thinking about coming and visiting with us. And then put a direct invite, a direct call to action. So you may say something like, "Hey, thanks for checking out our website. We know that visiting a new church can be nerve-wracking, but we're so excited that you're thinking about coming this weekend. We hope that you will join us at," and then you can put your sermon times or put your service times and location and all that. And you can do this in text, or even better, you can do this in a video. And maybe you don't want to include a photo of your pastor on the front page, but a direct invitation from your pastor at the top of the visitor page might be a really effective option. The next section, you're going to want to include those basic details, like what time are the services? Where are you located? Where can we park? Is there special visitor parking? If so, how do we get there? And where should we go once we're parked? You can use a combination of text, maps, a campus map, or maybe even video driving onto the church property and walking in. And this can really be tied into the next section, which is what to expect. Explain what the experience is going to be like succinctly, but with the kind of details that people have questions about before they visit. Like, what am I supposed to wear? Is this a formal church? Is this an informal church? Can I wear jeans, or is this a place where I'm going to feel out of place unless I'm in a suit? How long is the service? And this is a really great question, because some services last 45 minutes to an hour. Some services last 90 minutes. We need to let people know what to expect, especially time-wise. What happens during the service, especially if you are a place that has some elements in the service that are maybe more traditional that people aren't used to? People might have in their mind that we're going to go sing a few songs, hear a sermon, and that's going to be it. If you have a few other elements during your service, you might want to explain them here. And do I need to bring anything? Some people might wonder, am I supposed to bring, you know, something to church? Do I need to have a Bible? Should I bring a pen and paper? Or if I'm dropping my kids off at the kids ministry, do I need to bring anything? Am I going to show up and then find out that I was supposed to have something specific? Answer those kind of questions and make sure that we do this in a language that everyone can understand. This is not the page for churchy language. This is the page to be as clear as possible. And better yet, we can do this through a video. Like I said, perhaps we video ourselves driving onto church property and then walking up to the door where we're supposed to go. And in that video, you have a greeter greeting you. And through this time, you can narrate what to expect during worship. There are lots of examples on YouTube. You can go onto YouTube and search what to expect church. And there are lots of examples, some long, some short, some traditional, some contemporary. And it might give you an idea of what these videos with what to expect can look like. Next, you might want to include a sermon clip or a link to a place where someone can watch a sermon. Because while most likely visitors aren't coming because your pastor is famous, the sermon is still a really big deal. If people are thinking about church, probably the two things they're thinking most about are music and the sermon. And especially we live in a culture nowadays where we don't really sit around and listen to one person talk to a big group of people. And so if people are coming to church, they're either kind of nervous or intimidated about the sermon, or that's the reason that they're coming. And for visitors, it may even be this central thing, like that's the reason I'm coming to visit your church. When I moved to a new area and I wasn't pastoring a church, I listened to sermons before deciding whether or not to visit a church. And I feel terrible about this because I'm a pastor and I would hate for someone to come to my church website and choose not to visit because I didn't have a sermon there, or choose not to visit because they didn't like my preaching style. But the truth is, we all want to sit within a teaching style that is going to be interesting and engaging for us. And so if you have a sermon clip or link to a sermon that is going to be a really good example of what your preaching is like or what your pastor's preaching is like, you might want to include it here. And I would say, don't just choose the most recent sermon, but choose a sermon that will resonate with a visitor. Choose a sermon or a sermon clip that's speaking about a topic or a question that someone who's maybe not quite as familiar with the church will really resonate with. Next, you should have an information section for parents. Where do kids go? What do they do? Who is watching them? Have they been background checked? How do I check my kids in? Maybe you include photos showing that your space is safe and that it's clean. Maybe you give a link to an example, a PDF example of the curriculum that kids will be learning. Basically, you want to answer the kind of questions that are going to make a parent comfortable bringing and dropping off their child. And an optional thing that some churches include, you don't necessarily have to include, but can be nice, is an option for pre-registration or letting people know that you're coming. So for example, if you use a church management system that logs in kids and maybe prints out a sticker with a barcode so that we know that the right people are checking them in and checking them out, if that service gives you the chance to embed the child registration form on your website, maybe you can go ahead and do that now and save that visitor time on Sunday morning. Or maybe you go ahead and have them fill out a Connect card. You have a digital version of your new visitor or Connect card, and you have people go ahead and fill that out online before they come. Or maybe you can just simply offer an email address where someone can write an email letting the church know that they're coming on Sunday. Now, the important thing, of course, is that you want to make sure someone is checking for these things, whether it's checking for an entry in a database or checking an email address. If people are going to go through the effort of sending that in, you want to make sure it gets read. And maybe you have your greeting or connections team pre-learn names, or perhaps you can use this as a way to answer questions. So if someone sends an email saying, hey, my family is coming on the weekend, it'll be me, my wife, and my children, here are their names, but we had a question about this. Make sure you answer their questions. But it's also really great that if someone walks up and they introduce themselves, and then you remember the names of the kids that came with them. This can be a really effective way to combo the visitor friendliness of your website with the visitor friendliness of your greeting or connections team. And kind of important is if they go through the effort of filling out a form online, make sure that they don't have to re-enter the same information in person. Then they'll wonder why they did it online. Then at the bottom of your visitor page, you want to answer this question, where to next? So whether you have a pre-registration form or whether you finish with the information for parents and kids, maybe you have a suggestion at the bottom that says, now that you've learned a little bit about our church, check out our sermon archive. Or perhaps you send them to your staff page so they might get to know the people. Basically, you want to guide people through your page, or maybe you put a link to your about page. What do you want people to learn next? If they're still interested in the church, what do you want them to encounter next? You want to guide them through your website. So real quick recap, your visitor page should include something like a personal invitation, basic details, what to expect, then perhaps a sermon clip or link, information for parents, perhaps an optional pre-registration or email address, and then where to next. Well, listeners, we want to hear from you. How do you intentionally welcome and connect new visitors through your website? Are there any special pages, videos, or even specific phrases or invitations that have gotten a positive response from your community? You can email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your ideas or stories on a future episode. And of course, you can use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions you have for the show. We would love to hear from you. Finally, if you found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure that other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things that you can do are share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're using to listen to us right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.